What would you most like to have removed from your life? Maybe a spot on your face or an angry brother, demanding letters from your bank manager, an abusive relationship, the pressure of your job, financial insecurity, a serious illness. How about your sin and the guilt of sin? Well, maybe that didn't spring to mind because you know it's been dealt with, because maybe it doesn't seem that big a deal. But it's actually the part of our lives that needs removing more than any other. And strangely, we aren't always aware of that. It's a bit like a man going to a doctor and he's got a growth the size of a football on his head. And he says to the doctor, "Can you please take the wart off my finger?" There may be all kind of things wrong with our lives, and we will ask God to help us with these. But actually, God is like the doctor. He can see this huge growth, and all he wants to do is remove it. But we need to acknowledge that. And sometimes we're concerned with the warts. Last time we had communion here together, we focused on forgiveness as a covering of sin. You may remember we had some boxes here that were symbolizing sin, and we had a cloth that covered them over. So that image of forgiveness was about covering. Now in the Bible there's a number of words for forgiveness, and they mean different things. In our language you just have that word forgiveness without the subtlety that you find in the biblical languages. And today we're thinking about forgiveness as a taking away. And there's one word in the Old Testament for this in particular. It's a Hebrew word, which is nasar, which means to lift up or take away. And there's some scriptures that uses this word. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the Jordan Valley was well watered. You could say Lot nasar'd his eyes. And in Psalm 25:18, the scripture reading, "Take away all my sins, nasar all my sins." Psalm 32, "You forgave the guilt of my sin, you nasar." So, same Hebrew word, different translation, but very clearly it means to forgive. Now, we don't like things to be taken away. We prefer things to be given to us. Now, there are exceptions, such as cancer or debt or an enemy. We're glad to have those removed from us. Now, sin is like all of those. It's a relief when it's no longer there. There's also a word in the New Testament, aphiemi, from the Greek, which is same thing, really, to send away. We find it in this passage in Luke. "One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some people came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.'" Or, "Friend, your sins are aphiemi, forgiven," which really means taken away. Our sins are removed. They are out of sight. They're no longer a barrier between us and God. And communion is about concentrating on the most essential issue, which is the dealing of sin by God. It's also about being right with people around us. And God has made provision for that barrier between us and him to be removed. And because of that, we can make steps to get rid of any barriers between us and people. Now, people in societies deal with sin in different ways. Some governments are fairly lenient, and justice is based in favour of the criminal. For instance, in 2015, a former Stanford University swimmer in the United States raped an unconscious young woman. Now, this could carry the maximum penalty of 14 years imprisonment, but he received just a six-month sentence. And people were horrified at the leniency he was shown. Maybe it's because he was quite a famous guy, a good swimmer, and they just thought he was just a lad messing around. And people were so outraged that the judge actually received death threats. Some judgments are said to be just way too lenient. On the other hand, some governments are harsh. In some parts of the world, women can be killed for just teaching children. The concept of immediate forgiveness is unusual. It's foreign to governments and individuals. We may forgive, but it usually takes a while to reflect, to get used to the idea, perhaps to see that punishment is inflicted first, or until our own pain diminishes. For instance, in Saudi Arabia, the injured party has the right to stop an execution if forgiveness is offered. And a few years ago, this actually occurred. A man's son had been murdered, and the murderer was about to be beheaded. A crowd had gathered, the axe was raised, and he was just about to come down when the father shouted out his forgiveness, and the murderer was freed. God is different. His forgiveness is immediate, without hesitation. It's instinctive. It's just God's nature to forgive. He doesn't have to kind of think about it or mull it over. God forgives. Now, of course, that can be abused. I heard a radio play once, which was set in Italy some centuries ago. A monk had been asked by a local lord to commit a murder. The monk agreed in order to save his own life. And he spoke of this to another monk, saying that he would commit the murder, then repent afterwards and get an absolution or a kind of forgiveness. And he thought that would be okay. Well, I don't see God being keen to readily forgive that kind of premeditated crime with a view to getting forgiveness afterwards. That is really abusing the kindness of God. But that was the risk that God took when he decided to forgive human sin so readily. But he took it anyway. It's just God's nature. He can't go against his nature. Now, the key is, of course, that God's forgiveness is dependent upon our genuine sorrow for what we've done. Now, Carlum's going to help me now. Carlum, can you come forward, please? So we have a symbol here. And I want you to just, we have a rubbish sack that Carlum's going to hold. If you just stand in the middle there, please, Carlum, and just hold it up. Now, this bag, we've got to imagine here, this bag is full of only those imaginary garments of sin that are genuinely discarded by you. So what I want you to do is just think about the sin in your own life. Just think about things that are wrong, the barrier between you and God. Anything that you know is coming between you and God. And I wonder if you can kind of mentally put them in that bag. And it's no good throwing in those items that you want to keep using. Because when you throw something away, it's done with. You don't want it back. So forgiveness is a partnership. You discard things that are of no use to you. You discard things that are bothering you, that are holding you back, that are taking up space. And God gladly, he just removes them from you. And then the new can fill the space. As well as taking away your old sin, the Lord is able to fill you with new righteousness, with hope, with joy, with peace, with himself. So the way God deals with sin is important. His action is based on his character of love and forgiveness. His action is also based on his confidence in you and I, and in what his forgiveness can do for us. So mentally, can you put your sins in there? Anything that's coming between you and a good connection with God? Does it come down to issues in your life with God that you know need dealing with? Are you aware you need to make some changes? Are you aware you need to turn away from some kind of attitude of rebellion against God? Are you aware that there is sin in your life? It just needs removing from you. I just want you to think about that for a moment. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. And if you can respond mentally, put it in the bag and let the barrier be taken away. I'm just going to pause for a few seconds while we all just think about that. What would we want to put in that bag? Let's just be quiet for a moment. Carlum, if you could take it away, please. As we join together in communion today, we can rejoice in the fact that our sins are dealt with. In Jeremiah 31, verse 34, the Lord says, "I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Amen.